And this time on Culture File, dowsing. It hasn't gone away, you know. There are few species of divination that still have a role in the contemporary building trade, and this surprising tenaciousness has inspired an artist collective known as the Institute of Dwelling. The Cork-based group have been focusing their practice on the pricking in the thumbs, the quivering of the rod, and all that might or might not represent. The group were in Skibbereen over the summer holding dowsing workshops and exhibiting their stylish collection of workwear for dowsers in a shop on Bridge Street, where Culture File bumped into them.
My name is Colette Lewis. I'm an artist member of the Institute of Dwelling.
And I'm Eleanor Rivers, and I'm with the Institute of Dwelling.
And I'm Marilyn Lennon with the Institute of Dwelling, or the IOD as we call it. We're actually on Bridge Street in an empty shop. We ran a workshop on Sunday, a dowsing and choreographed dowsing and drawing workshop. And we then have taken some of the artefacts, the ephemera, the drawings, the tools that we use, and we're installing those as a shop window display here on Bridge Street in Skibbereen.
We've been using the practice of divining, as it's probably most better known in West Cork here, as a method of tapping into the body's ability to respond to different energies and spaces.
Is that your explanation of divining in general? Is that what's happening? I've always found it completely mysterious because this is a real thing and it seems to live in our world more and more strangely. Somebody came to my back garden to find a pipe, and it's a completely rational person in a completely rational setup, and they were practicing magic in the back garden, it seemed to me.
That's what we love about it. It's on this edge between kind of magic and between everydayness, this extraordinary magical thing, which has been used in many other practices as well. Like, a lot of archaeologists have used divining to kind of find a lot about why particular sites are where they are.
And also it's used by healthcare professionals, so kinesiologists use it, muscle testing for testing allergies against food. People use it for finding lost people, lost objects.
The thing that is really interesting is that it is completely contested. You know, there's huge debates. You know, one theory overrides another theory. Another person or another group of people will say this is complete rubbish, and that it's somehow it's like a kind of unconscious moving of rods that the person who's doing it really wants that to happen. But I mean, for us, it's playing in that space of the possibility that it might be a real thing.
As you come along the street here, you've set up a display in the window, and it has this, it could be a workwear shop, but the workwear is slightly mysterious.
Yes, yeah, and that was our intention, so that it would look familiar, yet something would be slightly off or amiss or slightly different.
So, I mean, the shop window, for example, we have the classic diamond-shaped road sign, but we've co-opted that, and we're using a dowsing sign. So dowsing is happening here, you know. We've got things like dowsing rods, but they're packaged with all of that sort of high-vis colouring. So we're, like, pulling lots of references from the whole workwear aesthetic.
And you have some strange caps and hats and veils.
yeah, that's us pushing the boundaries of what workwear could possibly be. So, yeah, these black caps that possibly could be a sort of a witch workwear, because, you know, dowsing or divining is also known as water witching.
Yesterday, we had 21 people that turned up, most of whom had never experienced it before but were interested. So there was one guy in particular, he was a local farmer, he was there with his son, whose son was like 13 years of age. And in our first exercise, everybody experienced the rods, experienced them moving. And I noticed that he was amazed that they actually moved, and he kept testing other people's findings to see if they correlated with his. So he was slipping constantly between doubt and just intrigue and excitement that it actually worked for him. So maybe he felt really proud. He felt like maybe that he had the special gift.
Divining is probably a practice that is still fairly accepted in some places in Ireland. You know, it really sits on the boundaries. Other practices have been completely pushed, you know, out of existence. People are obviously are sceptical, and you know, that's perfectly all right with us. Some of us are sceptical.
We love sceptics.
Yeah, we're not even completely convinced about what's happening. We don't subscribe to any particular belief system around what happens when you're divining. So, but it's more about opening up a space where a conversation can happen, a dialogue can happen, where thinking about space and place and living and occupying space and dwelling in spaces is a broader conversation than bricks and mortar and the rational numbers and figures, the number of houses, the square footage, the cost per square footage, you know, these kinds of conversations. How do we try to open up a little bit more space around what is it like to actually embody a house? What's it like to embody a house, a home? What are the other maybe invisible energies that affect the body, affect how we live in a place, how we experience a place, how we rest in a place, how we work in a place? It may not be electromagnetic energy. It might be just a desire to have a different relationship to the place you're in.
A more deeper connection and relationship.
It's a way of making something visible, though, isn't it, that so many people feel, like most of us feel, that we find places during our lifetimes where we feel incredibly at home, you know, where we really, really just feel good of places nurturing us and nourishing us. And we found a whole load of names of words from various cultures who really had that sense of a place being, you know, very good for you in some way, or a place that you really, really feel at home.
Members there of the Institute of Dwelling, and next time we'll be warming up with rising violin star David Tobin.